Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Anne Ball, Katie Weaver, and Alice Bryant. Dan Friedel will tell us what's trending today, and later, Pete Musto and John Russell will bring us this week's lesson in everyday grammar. But first, here is Anne Ball.
Iran announced Thursday that it had successfully launched a rocket carrying a satellite into space. State television in Iran claimed the Simorgh rocket can carry a 250-kilogram satellite as far as 500 kilometers above Earth. The report did not say what the rocket was carrying into space. In the Farsi language, Simorgh means phoenix. The rocket launch comes after the United States moved earlier this month to increase economic sanctions on Iran over its ballistic missile program. Thursday's launch did not violate the 2015 nuclear agreement signed by Iran, the U.S., China, France, Germany, Russia, Britain, and the European Union. In the agreement, Iran agreed to pull back its nuclear program in exchange for billions of dollars in sanctions relief. The United States has expressed concern, however, that the rocket technology Iran is developing could possibly be changed and used as long-range missiles. Meanwhile, the Associated Press reported Thursday that President Donald Trump's administration is pushing for inspections of Iranian military areas. Senior U.S. officials said the inspections of the suspicious military areas will test the nuclear deal. Trump has long criticized the current nuclear deal. Trump aides have said there are serious problems with the deal. If the problems are not fixed quickly, it is likely that Trump will pull out. Officials said the U.S. is talking with European leaders to work on a follow-up agreement that would stop Iran from restarting nuclear development once the deal expires in about 10 years. The officials were not named because they did not have approval to speak publicly. The deal has a complex process for inspecting Iran's military areas. There are many chances for Iran to delay the process. It is likely that Iran would resist the Trump administration's inspection requests. If Iran says no to the inspections, then Trump may say that Iran is breaking the deal. That would then place the blame on Iran if the deal collapses. If Iran agrees to the inspections, it would help those in the administration who support staying with the deal. Earlier this month, Trump wanted to declare that Iran was in violation of the agreement. The International Atomic Energy Agency checked for violations. It found there were only small problems. The U.S. agreed to wait for another 3 months before acting. In 3 months, there will be another deadline to check if Iran is violating the deal. This week, Trump told the Wall Street Journal he expects to say Iran is not complying. If it was up to me, I would have had them non-compliant 180 days ago, Trump said. American businesses hope the deal survives so they can follow economic opportunities in Iran. The aviation industry, for example, recently signed billions of dollars of contracts to sell passenger planes to Iranian airlines. I'm Ann Ball.
Five Kenyan schoolgirls have developed an app to help women and girls end female genital mutilation, or FGM. The girls will soon take part in the yearly International Technovation Competition in California. Technovation is supported by Google, Verizon, a mobile telephone company, and the United Nations. The competition supports girls as they learn the skills they need to become technology entrepreneurs and leaders. Girls who develop apps to end problems in their communities can win money. The Kenyan girls hope to win a $15,000 prize for creating iCut, an app that they hope will end FGM. iCut connects girls who may soon be forced to undergo FGM with rescue centers. It also gives legal and medical help to those who are suffering from the effects of FGM. The app has five sections: help, rescue, report, information on FGM, and donate and feedback. The girls are all between 15 and 17 years old. They are the only Africans chosen to take part in this year's competition. Their East African nation is one of the most technologically advanced countries on the continent. Stacy Owino is one of the girls who developed the app. She says FGM is a big problem affecting girls worldwide, and it is a problem we want to solve. She and the four other developers will fly to California on August 6th for the competition at Google headquarters. They recently visited the computer company's offices in Nairobi. Owino said, "This whole experience will change our lives. Whether we win or not, our perspective of the world and the possibilities it has will change for the better." Ivy Akinyi also developed the app. She says she plans to become a computer programmer. She says she and the other girls just have to use this opportunity as a stepping stone to the next level. The girls are from the western city of Kisumu. One of them, Cynthia Otieno, says they call themselves the Restorers because they want to restore hope to hopeless girls.
Google is offering financial assistance to groups that can help people get the skills and connections they need to find jobs. Jacqueline Fuller is president of Google.org. On Wednesday, she said that the way we work is changing. She noted new jobs require and depend on technology. Fuller said, "We want to make sure that as many people as possible can make the most of the new jobs, industries, and opportunities that are emerging." She said Google is providing $50 million over 2 years to provide financial help for groups working on finding people jobs. Google's money will first go to nonprofit groups in the United States and Europe. Later, Fuller said, groups in other parts of the world will get money. Fuller said Google is looking for groups that can do one of three things: help connect job seekers with jobs, do research to find what kind of job training works best at putting people into jobs, or provide help for low-wage workers who work in the service industry, such as restaurant employees, cleaners, and store clerks. Service jobs are the fastest-growing category of jobs in the U.S., Europe, and many other developed economies, Fuller said. But, she said, many low-income workers find it difficult to get help when they run into trouble, such as sickness or injury. Low-income workers often do not get paid when they are unable to work. Fuller talked about the National Domestic Workers Alliance, which she said is already getting financial help from Google. The alliance collects money from domestic workers through a small monthly payment. Domestic workers often work in people's homes, providing services such as cleaning. That money collected from the workers is used to help workers who need to take time off their jobs to deal with emergencies. In 2014, Pew questioned over 1,000 experts in technology, the economy, and job creation about the effects of new technology. The experts were divided, Pew said. About half expected robots and other technology to take jobs away from large numbers of people. But about half the experts expect just as many new jobs to replace the old ones lost to technology, Pew said. I'm Katie Weaver.
Hundreds of people gathered at a beach in Thailand on Wednesday to release 1,066 turtles into the sea. The event was one of many around the country celebrating the birthday of Thailand's King Maha Wajiralongkorn. The number 1066 represents two important numbers for the king, 10 and 66. The king is commonly known as King Rama the 10th, the X meaning 10. And he will be 65 years old on July 28th. The number 66 is one more than his age, to wish him long life. The large crowd, including members of the Royal Thai Navy and students, released the turtles at the Sea Turtle Conservation Center in Chonburi. Attichanan Srisivok is a Thai actress and supporter of Thailand's conservation efforts. She said, in Thailand, turtles represent long life. With the release, she wished the king good health and long life. The turtles released on Wednesday were raised from eggs collected by the Navy from nearby Ko Krom Island. Some of the turtles were as young as 1 week old. Thai Buddhists believe that releasing animals from capture is also one way of gaining good karma. They believe that a person's actions decide their karma, or how their next life will be. The birthday celebrations are expected to include ceremonies at Buddhist holy places across Thailand. That includes an almsgiving event for more than 600 Buddhist monks in the capital city of Bangkok. Almsgiving is the practice of giving money or food to poor people. Rama the 10th became king in December, following the death of his highly respected father, King Bhumibol Adulyadet, in October. I'm Alice Bryant.
This is What's Trending Today. John Urschel was living a life many athletes only dreamed of. He was a player in the National Football League, or the NFL. Until Thursday, the 26-year-old Urschel played for the Baltimore Ravens football team. But not anymore. He announced he was giving up football to study math at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Urschel played in the NFL for 3 years. He came to the Ravens after playing in college at Penn State University in State College, Pennsylvania. Urschel was known among American sports fans for being both a good football player and also a mathematician. Urschel studies complex math, like advanced algebra and machine learning. He wrote about his studies in a 2015 article in the Players' Tribune. It was called Why I Still Play Football. He wrote that he loves math, but also loved to play football. There's a rush you get when you go out on the field, lay everything on the line, and physically dominate the player across from you. Urschel was an offensive lineman. That means he used his large body, over 1.9 meters tall and 136 kilograms, to keep the opposing team's players from tackling his teammates. But it also means that he ran into other players over and over again. Earlier this week, a study was released about the brains of American-style football players. Researchers examined the brains of 111 former NFL players who had died. All but one of them showed signs of chronic traumatic encephalopathy. That is the brain disease known as CTE. It is linked to hits to the head that are common in football. The brains were donated by families of the former football players. The Baltimore football team posted the news on Twitter. The team just started practicing for the new season this week. Baltimore's coach is John Harbaugh. He said, "We wish him all the best in his future endeavors." Urschel has not yet talked about his retirement, but the announcement came after the new study was released on Tuesday. Many people reacted to Urschel's news on Twitter, calling him a genius and praising his decision. And that's what's trending today. I'm Dan Friedel.
The film Finding Forrester tells a story of a high school student who becomes friends with a famous writer named William Forrester. Forrester published a single book, then withdrew from public life. Forrester teaches the student about writing. In one scene, he gives this piece of advice.
You should never start a sentence with a conjunction. It's a firm rule.
In today's program, we are going to explore that rule. Should writers not use conjunctions such as but and at the beginning of a sentence?
Many writing students are confused about conjunctions. Perhaps their teacher told them they should never write sentences that begin with conjunctions. Yet, they have seen sentences beginning with conjunctions in newspapers and books. So, should you or shouldn't you? Before we answer the question, here are some important definitions. But and come from a group of words called coordinating conjunctions. These words connect two or more structures. Consider this example.
I disapproved of his study habits, and I told him so.
This example sentence has two independent clauses. An independent clause is a group of words that could make a complete sentence. Let's study the sentence closely. The sentence has a subject, I, and a predicate, disapproved of his study habits. The second part of the sentence, I told him so, also has a subject, I, and a predicate, told him so. What about but? Here is an example.
She claimed to be the best student in her class, but I suspect she's joking.
Once again, this sentence has two independent clauses joined by a conjunction. The important point, writes English grammar expert Martha Kolln, is that coordinating conjunctions connect structures as equals. They show that structures or ideas have an equal weight or importance in the sentence. There is a difference, however. And shows that the structures go together, but shows that the structures contrast. Conjunctions can be used with a variety of punctuations, notes Max Morenberg, an English grammar expert. They can even connect two or more sentences. Using conjunctions to connect sentences can show how ideas relate to one another across sentences. The use of conjunctions can also give a certain flow or abruptness to a writer's sentences.
Let's look at famous examples from literature. Novelist Vladimir Nabokov is famous for the beautiful way he uses language. Most critics say his 1955 book, Lolita, is a classic. If you read the book, you will notice that Nabokov sometimes starts sentences with conjunctions. In one of the first lines of Lolita, Nabokov uses but to start a sentence.
She was Dolly at school. She was Dolores on the dotted line. But in my arms, she was always Lolita.
In this example, Nabokov creates a pattern in the first two sentences. Then he breaks the pattern by using a different sentence structure. The word but helps to show a contrast between ideas, and it also helps to create a mix of sentence styles. Nabokov's use of but at the beginning of the sentence lends a poetic quality. The word adds interest and drama.
Nabokov used and at the beginning of a sentence, too. At the end of Lolita, the lead character Humbert Humbert is writing a goodbye to Lolita that he knows she will never read. In the last paragraph, and begins several sentences. The usage gives the reader the idea that each sentence holds equal importance. It also gives the reader the feeling that Humbert is writing the thoughts as quickly as they enter his mind. Consider the last two sentences of Lolita.
I am thinking of aurochs and angels, the secret of durable pigments, prophetic sonnets, the refuge of art. And this is the only immortality you and I may share, my Lolita.
You might think that you should begin writing sentences that begin with conjunctions. Nabokov did it. So did other famous writers, such as Jane Austen and Mark Twain. We suggest that you be careful about using conjunctions at the beginning of sentences. Teachers have good reasons for repeating this rule. First, students often use conjunctions incorrectly. This can confuse the reader. Second, many students use conjunctions too often. This creates a repetitive writing style. Remember, you should use many different sentence structures when you are writing. Think of Nabokov's writing. He used conjunctions to give style to his writing. He did not begin every sentence in the same way.
We started this report with a question. Can you begin a sentence with a conjunction? The answer is yes. Should you begin a sentence or a paragraph with a conjunction? That answer depends on your writing ability. The next time you are reading the news or a book, try to look for examples of but or and at the beginning of a sentence. Ask yourself why the writer formed the sentence that way. Does the choice make stylistic sense? The process of mastering conjunctions can be difficult and lengthy, but you will make progress with time. And we will be here to help. I'm John Russell.
And I'm Pete Musto.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.